your host, Jonna Willoughby-Lohr, and you are here on the Reach the Stars podcast. And my guest today is the one, the only, Kanishka. Say hi, everybody.
Hi.
Kanishka is super, super awesome. Not only is he a very, very young business owner himself, he has been the chief marketing officer for at least two other companies at the same time, in addition to going to college, graduating college, being on a board of a nonprofit, two nonprofits. One is Grow Buffalo Business, and the other one is called Dinner on the House Charity, I believe is what it's called, where they help provide food to people who need it, and so many other things. Kanishka is really awesome. We're going to have a great conversation today. So I was wondering, can you tell everyone a little bit more about you and where you come from?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me here. Well, I moved here to the States. I'm in Buffalo now, but I moved here 6 years ago from Dubai. I'm ethnically Sri Lankan, so my family, you know, they grew up in Sri Lanka. All my extended family lived there, and then moved to Dubai, lived there till I was 16 or 17, and then moved over here for college. And then 6 years later, graduated. Found a girl that I liked, and now we live together. So Buffalo is home.
That's awesome. I'm wondering if you can tell everyone a little bit more, like, about what it was like in your childhood growing up in Sri Lanka.
So I was born in Dubai, and then we moved to Sri Lanka when I was like 6 months old, and then lived there till I was six or seven. So I went to kindergarten in Sri Lanka, and then came to school, I think first or second grade in Dubai. So my family comes from like extreme poverty, like from, you know, those mission videos that you watch, like that's probably my village. So it was interesting. I went to a school in the village with all the village kids. I don't remember much of it, but I know that, you know, there wasn't much there, but we didn't know that. I remember it being really fun. From a young age, I had a huge fascination with like nature and wildlife and things like that. So I was like in my element there. So then I moved to Dubai, and it was a crazy shift because I didn't know the language. They speak English there, so I had to learn a new language, and I think that was a little bit of a struggle, and I was a little afraid, I think, at a young age, because, you know, my parents, they worked a lot, and, my mom tried her best to be there as much as she could, but like, it was a new place. And, there's this weird, culture in Dubai where, they're not as accepting of like new people as you'd think. So it was a little rough, but I think I kind of, came into it as I grew older and, went into school. Like high school, around high school is when I kind of really, I think I found my place in the world, to briefly put it. But no, I enjoyed it a lot. There's a lot of different cultures in my school, in my community in Dubai. My classroom had like 30 kids, and all 30 kids were from a different country. So it was just awesome being exposed to that. And I think I'm more grateful for that now being in the States, just understanding what I learned from mm-hmm. those circumstances. But in the moment, it was just fun. I was just having fun. And then, yeah, I wouldn't say I had a tough upbringing, because my mom was just wonderful. But it was definitely all over the place with a lot of moving. Like, I think four schools, got kicked out of a few schools. I wasn't the best kid. Yeah.
Awesome. I just think it's really interesting, to talk to people who come from somewhere that is so different from the United States. And that, you know, at 18, I remember I went away to college, but I went away like five states, you know, and like I could take the bus home for Thanksgiving or whatever. And, I think it's really brave to say, I'm going to go on to the other side of the world to go to college. And I just think that's really brave and awesome.
Yeah, I think.
What was it like when you first came to the United States? Like, was it like crazy culture shock, or, you know, was it kind of what you expected, or what?
That's a hard question. You know, you would expect an answer. I expect me to have an answer for that, but it just happened. And I came here. There's a funny story associated with that. I thought I was going to Manhattan. I didn't realize how big New York State was when I applied to school. So I think I was in orientation, and I had asked my orientation leader. I was like, "Hey, how do I get to the Empire State Building? I want to go check it out in the weekend." And he told me that it was an 8-hour bus ride away, and that's when I realized I wasn't in Manhattan. I think the first few months was probably a little bit of a culture shock. More so the kind of freedom and things. And I think I know that it was a culture shock in hindsight, but in the moment I didn't realize it. Like, you know, now we make fun of this all the time, but when I'm, you know, I feel uncomfortable holding my partner's hand, like I did earlier, just because, like, you know, PDA is not a thing in Dubai. But over here you can like express your love however you want and nobody cares, freedom of speech and all that stuff. So I think like there was definitely a transitional stage of like a couple years until I really got, I would say, Americanized. But I don't think it was a culture shock. It was more of like a slow transition of like one thing at a time. Like, all right, now I feel comfortable going to parties. Now I feel comfortable doing this thing and that thing. And then now I feel comfortable doing whatever.
I think that's awesome. I think it's really important for people who haven't been to other countries to realize that there is, you know, much as people from the United States can kind of dog on like the liberal section of the United States can be like, oh, we're not super free over here. But I think it is really important to realize that like we do have a lot of freedoms like that that we take for granted, because many people in the United States have never been to another country and have no idea what it is like to live somewhere else, and probably never will.
100%. I think there's this cool book I read called The War of Art. They talked about two types of cultures, like artistic cultures and fundamental cultures. And I would say countries like Dubai and Sri Lanka are fundamental, while like America is an artist, where, you know, you have these, I would consider, pioneers in like, you know, what's okay for us in society. That's what America is, like trying to figure out what's okay and constantly asking that question. While places like Dubai and Sri Lanka, they're still like, all right, let's get some food on the table, and like that's all we got to worry about. Mm-hmm. So I think like people, unless you're part of the, you know, unless like you said, like if you go to those places and see the difference, you can't appreciate what America is. But I would say America is like the pioneer, you know, like this, the person that like tests the water so everybody else can go jump in.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that way of thinking about it. As a lifelong American, we could definitely get kind of jaded and forget about all the ways that we do have pretty good. I was reading this thing today that just said, like, if you have a roof over your head that has running water in it, you are more privileged and fortunate than like 40% of the earth or some crazy shit. And I think it's good for people to kind of have some of those little humbling checks when sometimes little piddly shit that seems like a huge deal, you know, when you put it in perspective like that, you realize like, oh, that drama with my coworker or whatever, like that is just so low on the totem pole of things that really, really matter in the course of your life.
Yeah.
And I try to work really hard to be grateful for all the things that I have instead of being spiteful for all the things that I don't have.
That's a great way to be.
Because it can, that's the one thing, is that like being American, things like, you know, wanting material things because there's so much media all around you can kind of be overwhelming. And it's, you have to mentally fight against being sort of tricked into needing things you don't really need every day. And when I went to Europe, that was one thing that I really noticed right away, is like the difference in the amount of advertising that you're exposed to every day. And that like stores are just not open 24 hours. They're like, you want food in the middle of the night? You should have bought it at the farmer's market during the day. And like, that's just it. And you know, yeah. 24-hour everything culture in America is really exhausting for me.
Yeah, I think it's tough because I think it's great to have perspective. It helps you, I think, be calm and like, you know, not as agitated when things happen. Like you get to see, like you have a broader perspective to use to analyze a situation. But I think in general, like it's hard to define like what's good and what's not, you know, like it's hard to say that, you know, fundamental is good or artist is good, or it's hard to say, is it worth fighting for freedom or not? You know, it's, you know, from a perspective of if, you know, somebody here in America that's never traveled and somebody in Sri Lanka that's never traveled, both of those people are going to feel angst about some situation to the even degree. But like for here, it's maybe an employee relation thing. The other person is exhausted from farming, but like whatever it is, it's, I feel like it's just pain, but like just a different type. And it's not I feel like it's hard to say if one pain is worse than the other, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So we don't run out of time, I want to add in some info about you starting your own company and kind of what your journey was like getting into, business and marketing, as a really young guy and where you've gone since you started, marketing for your parents' business as a kid in high school.
Yeah. So my journey started with my mom's business. It was, you know, struggling in Dubai, and, I basically Googled how to run ads on Facebook and did that, and then how to run ads on Google. And so that's kind of where my marketing journey started. It didn't go well initially, but I didn't know that. I thought I was crushing it. But I know now that I could have done a lot better, but it was great because I had that opportunity to test my skills through my mom's business, and I got pretty good at it. Then came to the States. My first adventure into entrepreneurship was I threw a party in my apartment and somebody said, "Hey, there's a lot of people here. You should charge." I was like, that sounds like I could do that. And I did that. And that kind of led to like a 2-year stint in college of turning house parties into an event company that I founded with like a DJ there. And we ended up hosting, we hosted concerts at the end of it. It started with house parties, but eventually ended up with concerts. But we used a lot of like social media and marketing and things like that to host these concerts, to sell tickets and things like that. So I think like the whole like media landscape kind of stuck with me throughout my journey. And I talk about this when I talk about kind of our team and my company. One of the differentiating factors is our generation. I think we grew up with these algorithms. And we don't see it as a tool. We see it as a language, you know, like, you know, it's some of these kids that are like 15, 16 that have a million followers. Like, how did they have the skill to understand how to leverage this platform to gain that many viewers? Right. Like that's a skill, but it's not, you know, they didn't go to school for it, but they have this understanding of the algorithm, like a language. Mm-hmm. But I think that's kind of what I leveraged throughout college. And then by the end of it, I got a really exciting offer to start an internship with a startup in college called Aviate Audio. They're an audio electronics company. So we make wireless effects pedals for guitars and all kinds of other cool like new generation music products. And I'm a guitarist. So it was a good fit. So I started, you know, as an intern in that company. They're really young at the time. And, you know, they were fundraising and doing all the startup stuff, and it was super exciting. And, I got more and more involved and I really liked it. And I think I, you know, helped out with my, you know, with everything I knew about marketing. So then they offered me like a co-founder role in the company and some equity. So that was kind of my first stint, like, right. I think it was around the end of junior year, I got involved in that company. And then, really got to test what I know at scale. Mm-hmm. So that was really fun. And that's kind of where I think my like adult career started. mm-hmm. And then while doing that, startups really don't pay. So I had, I was just having fun. It was great. And I was helping out when I could, but, I was about to graduate and, I didn't really have anything lined up for myself. And I was just taking freelance jobs, like doing marketing for people here and there. Because I was involved in the startup community, the ecosystem in Buffalo is pretty big and everybody knows each other. So, lots of people heard about what I was doing at Avian and they're like, oh, could you help me with this and that? And then by, I think, early last year, or like mid last year, I had a ton of clients and, it was a decent like freelance gig. And I had my position at Aviate as a CMO. And then at that point I had also joined Jekka Energy Bars as a CMO as well. So I had two like jobs as like a fractional CMO for two companies, two startups. Again, these are, like I said, startups don't pay. So I had my freelance thing going. And then earlier this year, when the pandemic started, I had already, at this point I had a lot of clients. So I was like, I was ready to like launch my company. I just didn't know when. And then earlier this year I had a lot of work and like, I was doing really well and the pandemic hit and a lot of the people needed a lot of help. And I wasn't one of those like corporate companies that like made it really hard for people to work together. So I everybody wanted to work and I didn't have the bandwidth to do that. So in the year that I was doing all the freelance stuff, I met a lot of cool and talented developers and designers and creatives who are good at different things like social media and graphic design and web development, different types of advertising, SEO, all kinds of stuff. So I basically give everybody a call and say, hey, listen, I want to launch this company. Are you down? Like I will keep your plate full with work, but this is what I believe in. This is my vision. Let's work together. And they're all with it. I asked at the time I had, me and my best friend started an e-commerce store on Amazon. And it was just like a side hustle project, but I asked him to join. I was in a business fraternity in college and I asked a friend from the fraternity to join. And I was like, all right, this is the team. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. And we did. And then, I think we started, doing really well, really fast. Fast forward a few months, it was a real business. Now we had like, at this point we have a little bit over 30 clients. We have like three full-time people and like five part-time people that work. And then some people that come in and out for projects. That's kind of how the company grew. And I've been recently just reading as many books as I can, and talking to as many mentors as possible to kind of deal with the scale of my growth. Cause there's like every month looks a little different. Like at first it was like, how do I make sure that all the projects are, all the client services are being fulfilled well. And that was pretty easy to do in the beginning. And then it was, how do I manage the projects? Then it was, how do I scale the business? How do I do the sales? How do I automate? How do I do the legal stuff? Then the finance and the taxes, how do I do payroll? How do I transfer? How do I lead a team? I gave a long answer, but that was kind of my journey from, my doing marketing for my mom's business all the way till where I'm at right now.
So just for frame of reference for the listeners, how many years were between when you started doing marketing for your mom's business and right now?
Eight
years to go from Googling, how do I run a Facebook ad, to like being CEO of your own company that has how many employees? Eight?
I mean, three full-time, five part-time, but eight.
And how old are you now?
23.
Yeah. What? Okay. So I don't want to miss the opportunity to have you talk about dancing. Mm-hmm. Because if you troll back far enough on Kanishka's Facebook pictures, you will see all these awesome breakdancing pictures. So I want to take a couple minutes to talk about that before we run out of time.
Dancing was a big part of my life ever since I was a kid. So my mom owns a dance school. So that probably speaks to a lot of why that happened. She tried to get me into ballet. I did that for like 3 years. It was not for me and I regret it. I regret not following through. I was like, oh, I'm a boy. I don't do this. Mm-hmm. Completely regret that. But yeah, no, I got into breakdancing. I think to answer one of your old past questions was like culture shock and things. I was into Latin dancing. So salsa, bachata, things like that. And I was like teaching when I was in high school. And I think what helped me transition really easily is as soon as I came here, I found the Latin dance community at UB. Mm-hmm. And I just integrated with them, joined the dance team, and I joined the breakdancing team. And that dance really helped me bridge that gap from like Dubai to here, because nothing is different about the dance. Like the dance culture is the same. Like, mm-hmm. these are different people speaking a different language, but like we respect a cipher, we respect, you know, who goes where, and like it's just the culture. So I had something that I was familiar with, and that definitely helped me, like, you know, transition to being an American, I would say.
That's awesome. Are there any YouTube videos of you dancing?
Oh, probably. There's probably some out there. Yeah.
Oh my God. Bonus points for any listeners that find videos. Having them to me. I love watching people dance because I suck at dancing, and I think it's really fun to watch people who are good at it. I was good at doing gymnastics when I was young, but as far as like being coordinated and like not making a doofy face while dancing, that's not my goal.
I think a lot of stuff transfer. Like, if you figure out how to, like, you know, do something with your body for one task, like, then you can just kind of take what you know and add to it. And that, you know, and I think that's what dancing is. If you did gymnastics, you would crush it at dancing.
I don't know. I tend to be like, if I am dancing, I tend to like do weird stuff with my face at the same time, because it's hard for me to do different things with my hands as I'm doing with my feet.
I think that's kind of the benefit of starting as a kid, is like, I didn't care what my face was doing.
Yeah.
Like, and then like, as you get older, you do, but at the point, like, you're kind of good enough where now you like, you can be a little bit more conscious.
Well, anyway, I love watching breakdancers and pretty much watching anybody dance, 'cause it's great.
Yeah.
So at the end of all of the shows, I ask all of the guests the same 5 questions.
Okay.
So the first question is, tell me about an experience that changed who you are today. Like a single moment that after that moment, everything was different.
Oh, that's a tough one. I think it's a accumulation of things, but I guess I can think, okay. I think it was 8th or 9th grade. And I had this, like, I was just not feeling good for months, and I was trying to figure out why. And then once I realized that it was really silly to think about, but I was really sad that I couldn't experience everything in the world in my lifetime. And that made me really sad. And then that made it really difficult for me to do anything. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I had this just, you know, through that crunch, that I had a realization that, I don't need to experience everything in life, because there's other people out there experiencing those things. And that definitely, that just made me feel good. And I think that made me look at the world from more of a sense of community. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of transitioned to the rest of my life from like that moment.
That's awesome. I was listening to this podcast, and the people on it were talking about a similar thing, about kind of feeling the fear of missing out, you know, mm-hmm. like intense fear of missing out about not being able to do everything. But they were talking about it in relation to having reincarnation and many past lives. And it's just like, you don't have to worry too much about doing it all in this life, because you've done it all before. And you'll do it all again. And, you know, each life you get to do different things, and you continue having lives until you've done all the things you're supposed to do. And I just liked it. It kind of, that your take on it was that like someone else is also doing those things and having those experiences. And I like that, kind of mashing the two together. It's like,
yeah,
it could be you or it could be somebody else, but really it's all us, because
yeah,
we are all one, as they say.
Yep.
Okay. So number 2, when you feel defeated or overcome, what do you tell yourself to keep going?
I have it written here. Close your eyes and feel the single point of energy in all areas of your body that is your existence.
I love that. You're like, I have it right here on a post-it.
I mean, I'm running a business. It happens more often than you'd think. So it's like, I have to read that like once a week.
Business that does not have post-it stuck on their computer screen. Like, what are you doing? Where do you put them? Oh my God, that is so many post-its. I don't have that many post-its, but it's pretty funny. Mostly because when you get like those swag bags and they have those like packages of the shitty post-its and they just don't stick and they fall off. All the ones on my computer are the ones that fall off. So they're actually in a big pile in front of my desk. Okay. Number three, tell me about a way that you overcame a failure or a mistake and what you learned from it.
I think, reading is a big one. When you work with a lot of clients, like sometimes it's, you know, you can do your best, but sometimes your clients aren't happy. So, it's just in nature, you're going to make mistakes. And then when it's with like other people in their business, it becomes really difficult. And then there's like a follow through and you fix it eventually. Like I'm the kind of person that'll be like, oh, I'm sorry, I messed up. Like I'll do everything in my ability and like, here, take my life and my soul. Like I will fix this for you. But there's a period of time that you feel really, really bad about yourself. And I think, the way I deal with that is by reading, something that gives me more of a broader perspective than my little box that I live in here.
Yeah, so. Like taking the time to learn something new and say, okay, next time, because I know this now, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Number four, what one trait or habit is most responsible for keeping you on track?
I would say consistency and dedication. Because there's a lot of different traits and habits that I've had. I wake up at 6 a.m. sometimes and I have good workout regimens and I have good diets. And like, I try all kinds of things, but like I'm consistently trying things. So that consistent effort is probably the habit that keeps me going.
Awesome. Okay. And number five, what is the best piece of advice that you've ever gotten? And what advice would you give to other people?
The best piece of advice that I've ever gotten was that you're never too busy. You can always make time. It's just only that just it's determined by if you really want to. So I have that in front of me as well. Like you can make time if you want to. Mm-hmm. And the piece of advice that I would give somebody, honestly, I'm really early in my journey. Like I don't know what I don't know. But based on what I do know, I think just don't get stuck up on your mistakes. I think just look past them and kind of live in the moment. Like that's contradictory, but don't look too far into the future. Don't look too far into the past. You live where you are and do the best that you can.
That is so perfect. one of our other past episodes, their advice for this question was to own the suck and just own the fact that sometimes you're going to fail and that you have to find a way to learn from that. And like, same deal, like don't get hung up on it.
Well, actually, if I could give one more, find a good balance with your personal life, your business life, your goals, and all those things. If you have a good balance with everything and you know how to enjoy yourself, you can do anything.
I need to work on that. I'm one of those people that is, you know, my stress response is to add more things to my plate instead of taking things off of my plate, which is what most people do. So if I'm freaked out about something, I'm like, oh, I'm going to start a new project. I'm going to have even less free time. Having new projects makes me really excited. So it's just like helps me kind of forget about the things that aren't working as well because I'm excited about doing something else. Anyway, so thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate having you here today. Can you tell everyone where they can find you on the interwebs?
Yeah, you could find me at yamumedia.com, YAMU media.com, or Kanishka Wananayaka at on LinkedIn.
Cool. I will put those links in the show notes for the people. Oh,
and if anybody wants to contact me, you can shoot me an email at kanishka@yamumedia.com, or you could even text me 716-423-9126.
You're so trusting. You're like, take my phone number, do it.
I love talking to people.
Yes. Awesome. So any last things you want to add on the Reach the Stars podcast?
I appreciate you and I appreciate everything that you do. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I appreciate you. Thanks so much, Kanishka. Thanks. And if you all listening, if you love the show, please go on our Patreon and back us. There's extra special goodies and special things you get for being a patron on there. And if you also love the show, if you want to review us on iTunes, that definitely helps us to get more visibility and whatnot. So check out the show on all the places to check out the show, and we will see you next week. Bye, guys.
Bye.
A single interaction has the power to change your life forever. This is a place for the stories of those moments. Stories of pursuing dreams, overcoming tragedy and failure, of coming back to life after so much of what feels like dying, of continuing on with only a vision as a map. This is the place where those moments live on. Come sit by the fire, look up at the stars, and be forever changed too.
Thank you for being with us on the Reach the Stars podcast. Our theme music is generously provided by Byrocratic. You can find him on Bandcamp.com. Thank you to all of our current patrons, guests, and everyone else who helps make this dream a reality. We are so proud to be building this amazing community with all of you. If you love this podcast, please consider sharing with a friend, leaving a review on iTunes, and becoming a patron at www.patreon.com/reachthestars. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel to see the videos of these conversations. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, do something cool and tell us about it.